Oh, we could sing one song after another and rejoice, because these songs express what has been given to each individual. Here the songwriter sings, "Holy joy fills my soul, Jesus, love and peace." We must ask ourselves whether we are filled with holy joy, whether we have Jesus' love in our hearts, whether we have peace, whether we have found rest in Him and the source of all bliss. My Jesus, that is You. May the Lord, if it is not yet so, bring this about in all of us. We come this morning and want to experience with Him what He has prepared for us. Then He continues to sing, "O You Sun, glorious Sun, wonderful light of my soul, let me look with joy for all eternity upon the face of my Jesus." Praise and thanks be to our Lord. We are so glad that we do not have to be sad like the others who have no hope, but we have hope in the Lord, our God. Let us perhaps read a word before we give Him honor and worship. Let us read a psalm, Psalm 112. Here it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." It says here so wonderfully, "His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance." All this is so wonderful. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This is it, brothers and sisters. We too need not fear. No, but we can be confident. This is what the psalmist proclaims here. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Those who truly put their trust in the Lord need not fear. They need not worry, for He cares for them. If we can only come to the point where we can grasp this in faith and place our trust in His hands and our whole lives, then the Lord will make everything right. Praise be to His wonderful name. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Yes, the Word of God must become a source of joy for us. And I would like to say, we cannot take this from ourselves, but it must be worked by the Spirit of God, that we rejoice in the Lord, in His word. Yes, who has it? Who has this joy? Have we received it or have we not? When we have no joy in it, we disregard the word. But when we have joy in it, we have it before our eyes all the time, and we can no longer live without the word. No, we must contemplate it every day. It has become a light for our feet. Yes, we can no longer do without it. We know that we do not live in this world by earthly bread alone, but this is our food. This is what the Lord gives us for our inner man, His word. Praise be to His glorious name. Yes, we are so glad that we can trust in the Lord, that we can rely completely on the Lord. Now, sometimes our trust in the Lord may not yet be so firm, but it should come to the point where we are so firmly anchored and rooted. Yes, and then we can indeed count on His help. We see all those who put their trust in the Lord, who believed in the Lord, who went and were glad for the paths they were allowed to walk with the Lord, and they did not care what their outward circumstances were. They placed their trust in the Lord again and again, and they knew that the Lord would guide and direct everything. When we read about David, how this man was sometimes despondent and troubled in all things, but then he was always able to say in the end, "The Lord is my help, He is my strength, He is everything to me." And so we too can say the same. It may not always seem that way, even in our lives, but we can be confident in the Lord. He has become our everything, and for that we are joyful. When we read Psalm 13, for example, David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." But now comes the verse, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." Yes, this man, when we look at his entire life, did not walk on paths as comfortable as he might have liked, but he walked, and he had one thing in focus and in his mind. He knew whom to turn to. He knew to whom he could say and complain about everything. He told the Lord, and that is the best thing one can do in life, to tell the Lord everything. Verse 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." And that is perhaps what we also need these days. We must trust in God's mercy and know that He cares for us. Even though the paths may seem dark, every day, perhaps we may have sorrow in our hearts, and various things may come upon us and surround us. And perhaps there may be many enemies, as there were for David. But praise and thanks, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy help. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. He was still in the midst of all these things, but he already began to sing. He already saw God's grace and God's help, and for all the good that the Lord had done for him, he began to sing. And we should do the same. Count the good that God has done for you, as the song goes. Most of the time we don't even see these things. It's because the evil one wants to hide them from us, so that we don't see them at all. But the Lord has done good things for us. He has done good things for us, and for that we want to sing praises and glorify His holy name and give Him the glory for all. He is good to us. Praise be to His name. It is so wonderful here, as David says, "But I have trusted in Thy mercy." He knew that if he relied on people, he would be forsaken, and then he would be gone. But he commended himself to the mercy of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we too may commend ourselves to God's mercy, and know that He will make all things well. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because He has dealt bountifully with me. Praise and thanks. Now I don't know. Perhaps some people cannot see what the Lord has done for them. But when I look back, I see all the wonderful things the Lord has done in my life. Can you see them too, brother, sister? Can we see the good things that God has done for us? Oh yes, my heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. Yes, we are so glad that we can come to Him, that He helps us every day, every hour. This morning too, we want to praise Him and give Him glory. Yes, in my heart, says the songwriter, a light shines brighter than sunlight. Yes, that's it. May it be so in all of us this morning. May we, to the glory of His holy name, not be depressed in any way, but may we cast everything away from us and bring Him honor and thanks and praise. You know, when we allow ourselves to be weighed down like this, we become so burdened, so weighed down, then we don't even know what to do. Then we become sluggish and tired. But when we cast everything off, then we can recover. And then we can be joyful in Him. And then He revives us anew. And that's what we desire this morning, that He may revive His work, all our hearts, whether young or old, whoever we may be. When we come into His presence, we are joyful. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and for Your faithfulness, Lord. We are so glad that we may be here again this morning in this place to praise Your precious and holy name together, to offer You songs of praise, Lord. For You have done great things in us too, and You have taken care of us, Lord. Lord, You have shown us Your mercy, and for this we praise You and want to sing Your praises, Lord. We want to cheer and rejoice, Lord, as David did, despite all his afflictions, Lord, in all that he was, Lord. He looked up to You, Lord, and knew, Lord, that His help comes from You, the living God. Lord, our help also comes from You, the Lord of heaven and earth. Be near us also this morning. Continue to bless us, Lord. Bless my brothers, Lord. Bless my sisters. Bless all who have come to be in fellowship with us and with You, Lord. Be near us, Lord. Lord, we want to see Your glory this morning, Lord. Oh, Your beauty, Lord. Lord, we want to lay everything down at the foot of the cross, Lord. We want to consecrate ourselves to You from the depths of our hearts to thank and praise You. Hallelujah. To Your glorious name, Lord. May You be pleased with us this morning and bless us, Lord. This is our sincere desire. Hallelujah. Praise be to Your glorious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no need to add anything more to all this. We have already heard precious thoughts from the Word of God and rejoice in them. Only the path of faith is secure, unattainable by the enemy, as the song goes, and only those to whom God has given promises can believe. Only those whose hearts are open, who can make their calling and election sure, can believe. It is the chosen part, as we have heard, not the masses, but the election has obtained it. Not by works of righteousness, but by grace. When Brother Rus read the word, I believe it was Psalm 13, David praised grace. Even in the Old Testament, grace was what helped the people. Not the law, but grace. And the Holy Scriptures say, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When God was about to give the law to Moses, he passed by him in his glory. He did not call out, "You will now feel how severe the punishment of the law will be." The Lord God passes by Moses during the time of the law and calls out to him very loudly, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." The lawgiver would have been justified in making the severity of the law clear to him, in impressing upon Moses what was in store for him, what was in store for the people of Israel, what obligations they were entering into. But the lawgiver is mindful of his mercy. His mercy breaks through. His love is revealed. He must give the law because it is necessary, but only with difficulty can he hold back his mercy. Only with difficulty can he hold back his love until the law has been carried out and has achieved its intended purpose, so that grace can then come forth in its full measure and take effect. And I believe that is what moves us all, not from works of the law, so that no one can boast. Whoever wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. We can go through the entire Old and New Testament. It was the same God, the same grace and love that was given to those who put their trust in the Lord. And when the songwriter sings of grace, we know what he is talking about. Grace triumphs over judgment. Yes, God's grace will make everything in our lives good. In faith, it has already been made good. When we read all these scriptures, the election has obtained it. We think of Revelation 2 and 3, of the seven church age messages. God's message is addressed to the whole church. Then comes the promise to the overcomers. He that overcometh will inherit all things. The overcomers have the promise. The overcomers are the chosen ones. They are the ones with whom God can and will deal because they believe and trust in Him. It does not matter how good or bad we are. It matters whether we believe God, not just whether we believe in God. Even the devil believes in God. As it is written in James, many believe in God. Even the most brutal murderers believe. When it says of Abraham, he believed God, it is not written he believed in God. It is written he believed God. He believed God. And we have placed emphasis on one thing here from the very beginning, that it is not people who speak, but God, so that our faith can be based on God's power, so that our faith is anchored in God's word. As we have heard from Hebrews, that our anchor of faith reaches beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And when we have taken all this into our hearts by grace, then it cannot be otherwise than that God watches over His word to fulfill it. And may we sometimes feel like David, that we say almost in despair, Lord, how long must this continue? We can no longer bear it. And the Lord says to us, be patient and persevere in faith. We have heard this. Patience and faith belong together. Impatience and unbelief also belong together. Those who become impatient are in essence trapped in unbelief. Those who are patient believe. Abraham had to persevere in patience. He did not drive everyone around him crazy. On the contrary, everyone was blessed because he had the promise. If we drive the people around us crazy with this and that, it proves that we do not believe at all, that we are impatient, that we become overexcited, that everything falls out of our hands. Those who believe are patient, persevere, trust in their God. Sometimes it is little things that throw us off balance as human beings. I had a conversation and a question came up, can one go to the doctor? Is it permissible to seek treatment? Can one take medication? Are you allowed to do this and that? I would like to say the following. Every person must walk their own path with God. No one can tell another person what to do or make decisions for them. One person has the faith that he can manage without a doctor. And as long as you are healthy, that works well, doesn't it? It works well. We have no worries there. But no one should judge those who are led differently. Hats off, if you are wearing one, to everyone who follows the direct path of faith in everything. But now comes a precious soul with fear in its neck. Excuse me for saying this, but there are different limbs on our body. Someone says, my toenail has grown into my toe. Can I go to the doctor? That's where the fun stops. That's not an illness. It's something that can happen and needs to be fixed. Sometimes when we have a cold, we are afraid that we have become ill. I don't know how we come up with these thoughts. When I read in the Bible that the sick were brought to Jesus, I read about cripples, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, but not of someone who just had the flu or a... Do you understand what I mean? We are so quickly thrown off balance and say, "Oh dear, is God angry with me now that the doctor has just removed my toenail? Have I denied my faith?" Not at all. Or do you want to limp? It's better to be sensible. Children, we must not allow these things to happen to us, that we become extreme, and that we are no longer able to think normally. All respect to everyone who can believe, but there are things that have to take their normal course, and you don't talk about it. You just do it, and then it's done. If anyone thinks they can go to the health food shop to buy a bottle of lecithin to give them a boost, they are accountable to God and no one else. That's their own decision. Do you understand what I mean? Where will we end up if we start thinking or acting like this? Every person who is a believer should not only seek healing for the body or the soul. Sometimes we also need healing in our thinking ability, so that we can think correctly, put everything in its proper place, and not become a burden to ourselves and others. Faith is reasonable and acts accordingly. And we have already said this, and I have just emphasized it. The illnesses that the Bible reports are of a very tangible nature. If someone, and we can all read about this, I just opened it up here in Matthew 15, there were cripples, there were blind people, there were lame people, there was distress, direct distress of the body. And you can read everywhere that when people were brought to Jesus, it was not just because they had eaten something unwise and felt unwell in their stomachs. That was not the case. These were cases of sick, blind, lame, deaf, mute, gout-ridden, paralyzed people who were physically afflicted and for whom there was no hope. They were brought to Jesus, and He healed them all, thereby fulfilling the scriptures, "He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. By His stripes we are healed." But if someone, and I want to say this for the reason that we should not always give up immediately and feel guilty and say that now the enemy has defeated us, now we have denied our faith, now we have grieved the Lord, it doesn't happen that quickly. If someone has caught a cold, that is not a grieving of God. It is something that has happened to us, that has befallen us, without us having to say a word about it. Sometimes I think we overestimate and overemphasize trivial matters to such an extent that we lose our balance. A cold, as we have said, lasts a week without a doctor, 8 days with a doctor, and then it's gone. And who has been harmed? No one. Things come and go, and we thank our God. Some people feel guilty when the doctor has to write them a sick note. Yes, if you get a sick note every 5 minutes, I would feel guilty too. But if it's necessary, why not? If you can do without it, so much the better. Let us be people who are reasonable, who do not make fools ourselves in front of others, who do not cause each other to have a guilty conscience, but let each one walk with God. I say again, those who can do without these things, thank God every day. But if here and there you are led down a path of faith that you yourself may not understand, then let us not feel guilty about it and say, now we have denied our faith. It doesn't happen that quickly. But the enemy comes, and then we are broken inside. We admit defeat. We start to whine and complain without any need to do so. Let us walk in faith, whatever our path may be, and then the Lord will be with us all by His grace and bless us. The election will reach the goal. Those who are called and blessed by God will hear His word and believe His promises. They will be lifted up in faith and they will move forward. That too has been said here this morning. No matter how we may feel at the moment, that does not change the promises God has given us. Sometimes someone has a minor accident, whether with their car or somewhere else, and immediately the enemy comes and says, you see, where is your faith now? What will the brethren say? That is the wrong way of thinking. Those who believe don't talk about it at all. They are happy that they are alive and that the damage to the car will be repaired and that we can continue with our God. What is all this petty stuff in the kingdom of God? Do we want to sift out the mosquitoes and swallow the elephants? Let us move forward in faith and thank our God for everything in every situation. It was probably David who once received a blow to the face. At that moment, he certainly did not compose a psalm. Or was he spat upon? What was it? He was spat upon. And he would have had great authority to raise his hand or have someone else do it. He simply says, let him be. The Lord has told him to do so. And that was it. He didn't sit there for days and say, oh my dear, why has this happened to me now? What have I done again? Why has this happened again? Dear God in heaven, be a little more merciful to me. This is causing me great concern. This causing great concern? I wouldn't know what for or why. If our God still concerns Himself with all the little things we sometimes have, it's bad enough that we concern ourselves with them. But if He were to do that too, I don't know what He would be allowed to do next. He has enough big things to do. And we should understand that, as has already been said, that we should give thanks to God in every situation, because everything that happens works together for our good. If we do not see this from a biblical perspective, we will always be in conflict with ourselves, with God, and with everyone else, arguing about this and that. Why is it this way and why not that way? And day in and day out, things go on, and we grow older and older, become embittered, and have not helped the whole situation at all. Those who believe are completely agreeable. They are friendly. They are also kind through the goodness of God, and they move forward in faith. I don't think that Abraham caught someone's eye and that he complained that God was not acting quickly enough and that things were not going as he would have liked. We read that Abraham believed God and that he did not stagger in unbelief. And those who stagger themselves can quickly cause others to stumble too. We know that very well. When someone stumbles and perhaps even falls, others dwell on it. No, those who believe move forward. Those who believe give glory to God. The anchor of faith is firm in the promise that has come from the sanctuary of God. And that is where our faith is founded, not in feelings, not in how we may be feeling at the moment, not in whether our car is whole or broken, whether we have work or not, whether we have money or not. Our faith cannot depend on these things. Faith is a spiritual matter. It is in the supernatural realm and has been placed in our hearts as a gift from God. We go to bed with this faith. We get up with it. Faith is a gift from God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that is why we want to walk this path of faith, not overestimating anything, but focusing our attention on God, on His Word, on His promises, that we ourselves do not stumble and do not become a stumbling block to others, but honor God through faith and move forward together until we have experienced and received all the things that God has promised us in His Word. Abraham would certainly have had the right to say, after all these years, "Lord, what about the promise?" But this is what we have heard. Since God could swear by no one else, He swore by Himself to make it clear to Abraham, "I have spoken, and what I have said is unchangeable. You can rely on that." That is true, for God had not specified the time. And we must understand that God's Word is absolute, and the things He has promised are and remain unchangeable. But we cannot determine the time. He did not tell us that either, for then it would no longer be faith. God makes all things good and right if only we cling to Him with all our hearts, trust Him completely, carry His promises in our hearts, and thank Him all the time for giving them to us. For it may happen that we do not thank Him for His promises, but grumble because He does not fulfill them. And then He cannot fulfill them, because at that moment and in such a state we are not in a position to receive them at all. Do we understand what this means? God's promises are not there to be talked about. To say, why haven't they happened yet? Why is this so and not different? God's promises remain. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains may disappear, as the song goes. As human beings, we are quick to say, even Brother Frank, when will it happen? How will it happen? What will it be? But that is only up here. It is not in my heart. Even if I sometimes say something, but it does not come from my heart. It may come from a rational consideration, especially if it is not done for the glory of God, and if it does not serve to build up the faith of believers. When I let my heart speak, oh, there is heavenly music. There is a wonderful sound to be heard. The promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When I let my heart speak, I already see many things that cannot yet be perceived with the eyes. May it come to pass that we have faith in our hearts, and that before we speak, we quickly become silent for a moment and check whether we are speaking from the heart and from faith, or whether we want to say something from the mind, from reasoning. Have we not all caught ourselves doing both of these things at times? Or am I the only one who is guilty of this? Have you all ever felt this way? May I ask you to raise your hands? Who has ever felt this way? Yes, everyone. There you have it. But now we must distinguish between what has brought us blessing and what has brought us misfortune. Every time we tried to make sense of things through our own reasoning, we were brought down ourselves and robbed others of their faith. But every time we let the Spirit of God speak in our hearts, it was different. Others were strengthened and confirmed in their faith. If we have learned nothing else this morning, may God give us from now on the clear discernment to know before we speak who is speaking, whether the Spirit of God is speaking in our hearts based on the promises of God, or whether we are about to let our minds speak. We should consider this every time. For what comes from the mind will never be able to bear spiritual fruit. On the contrary, it will be directed to the mind, and damage will be done. But if we, like Abraham, bear witness in faith and look to the invisible as if we would see him, yes, then we have often heard it from Brother Branham. He says, I can see Abraham. He said, Sarah, come, let us get the nappies, let us get everything and prepare everything, for God has said we will have a son. Sarah could have said, Now, Abraham, several years have passed. We have prepared everything here for the child. As you said, that God promised. What is wrong with you now? With sisters, with women, not that we want to speak ill of the weaker sex, but sometimes what is said can be quite insistent. And one might have said, how long will this matter take? I can hear Abraham saying, how long, I do not know. But one thing I do know, he who spoke to me, his word is true and certain, now and forever. And it will come to pass, as he has said. And with that, we are back at the beginning of the New Testament. Let it be done to me according to your word. Blessed are you who believed the promise. Only where God's promises are believed and where people wait for their fulfillment will the Spirit of God bring them to life at the right time and fulfill the word by grace. The election of Israel obtained it at that time, and the election of the nations will obtain it by the grace of God. We too, in this time, and I hope that no one will entertain the thought, well, they are taking quite a liberty. No one is taking any liberty here. We are only grateful to God that He has spoken to us through His Word and through His Spirit, as He spoke to Abraham and His servants and prophets, to His people throughout the ages. Only those to whom God has spoken can believe. Only those to whom the Lord has given His promises can believe. One cannot simply believe. That is not possible. Yes, they can believe, but what do they believe? Those who want to believe, as the scriptures say, must first receive the promises of God's word in a fine and good heart. And God will do the rest in all of us by His grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. We thank you with all our hearts for your faithfulness, which you have kept and preserved for all your people from the beginning. We thank you for your grace, for your love, for everything. And we ask you, faithful God, to make us people who walk in your ways, people who believe and trust in you, who move your word in their hearts, who let your Spirit speak in them and come to words. Faithful God, accept us all, O Lord, that we may build each other up in your love, O Lord. We thank you for your chosen people, for your blood-bought multitude, for all those whom you have destined in this time to hear and believe your word and your promises. May your blessing rest upon us all by grace. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, Amen.